Are you looking to fine-tune? Whether for your business, your job, your team, or yourself, in each episode, we will be discussing different ideas and opinions using real-world examples to help you see opportunities, innovate, and succeed. Hi, it's Corby Fine, and welcome to Fine-Tune. So I have to admit, I personally have been playing a lot lately with generative AI, writing blog posts, don't tell my boss, but checklists from work, PowerPoint presentations for conferences. Really, by now, I would assume that most of us, brands and individuals, know that we can pretty much create almost anything we want. And I'm living proof of that myself. The technology, it's becoming standard as a creative tool. And so the question to me becomes, who can a company turn to in order to get the best creative ideation and execution using this new AI technology? I always say, you know, we should build our apps so that nobody has to ever teach us how to use it. There's no instruction manual anytime you download an app. This thing's a little different. And even myself, I find I'm watching YouTube videos on how to actually prompt a ChatGPT because it's somewhat intuitive, but I know I'm missing something. And I'm often looking for help in doing that. And so as a brand or an individual, when you're uncertain of who and where to turn for that right opportunity, that's what we're going to talk about today. It's a problem that Forum 3 is actually hoping to solve. And today, I'm honored and lucky to have the two co-founders of Forum 3, Adam Brotman, who is the former chief digital officer at Starbucks, and rumor has it the creator of the Starbucks Rewards mobile app, where I spend way too much money, by the way, along with Andy Sack, who himself, a former innovation consultant for Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. I'd love to just be in the room with Satya Nadella, but you know, we can talk about that as well. Forum's new online platform, Hive3.ai, was launched last summer in 2023. And from what I can gather, was built to essentially gamify the process of connecting brands with experienced AI creatives. But I'm going to let Adam and Andy give us a little bit more detail about their business, the model, the successes to date. And I think really what we're all trying to figure out is what's the journey and future that they and we all should be envisioning for AI, which I do believe includes a book, and we'll talk about that as well. Maybe the book was written by a large language model. We'll find that out. But Adam and Andy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So why don't you just first give a little background on yourself? Maybe we'll start with Adam.
Sure. I am a Seattle native, through and through. My career, I started out as an attorney, but then quickly got into business and had a couple of entrepreneurial stints, but always in the digital arena. So digital music, digital images, and ended up at Starbucks and was the chief digital officer there for about 10 years. And yes, you know, had the honor and the privilege of leading the team that launched the Starbucks mobile app and rewards and mobile ordering, and was one of the first chief digital officers in the country. And then went from there to J.Crew as president and co-CEO for a stint, and ended up back being entrepreneurial, connected with my longtime friend Andy Sack here. And we decided to pursue a multi-decade dream of ours, which is to work together and, you know, kind of combine powers around helping brands with their digital transformation plans and ideas. And that led us to Forum 3, which now I'm co-CEO and co-founder with Andy of Forum 3.
Awesome.
Andy?
I'm Andy Sack, and I've been in the technology space. Started my first internet company in 1995. The first decade, I had four internet companies, managed to sell a couple of them, Firefly to Microsoft, which became important later. I then became a venture capitalist in Seattle. I have a seed stage fund called Founders Co-op. Most relevant to this conversation, I did, in fact, spend time working directly for Satya Nadella at Microsoft just prior to him becoming CEO, and then for the 6 years after he became appointed as CEO. And I worked with the small product team there on digital innovation and digital transformation of Microsoft itself, really working through the processes necessary to effectively incubate new products. Fast forward to Forum 3 with Adam.
Awesome. So obviously we're talking to very seasoned executives. You guys know what you're talking about. And I think that's really important for the first question. When we talk about AI, the average marketer, the average employee, the average small business owner, there's a lot of different connotations on what that means. We hear job loss, we hear fear, we hear opportunity, we hear legal rights, copyright. How have you simplified the way to explain to others what is it when, from your perspective, you're talking about AI as a creative tool and something that can help businesses? How do you simplify the definition of that? Why don't we start with Adam?
It's really hard to simplify the definition, which is interesting because I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. It's different than Web 1 and Web 2 in the sense of, you know, if you know, when I say Web 1, Web 2, you know, 1995, we all had that sort of aha moment when we saw a browser and thought about like, what would the internet mean for publishing and commerce and connection? And then there was this sort of social mobile cloud era around 2007 to almost now where it was also kind of amazing, but those were sort of linear. Like this is more exponential in the sense that it's actually AI, whether you're talking about generative AI from a large language model like a ChatGPT and the like, or you're talking about other generative AI tools like Midjourney and DALL-E and Stable Diffusion, what they all have in common is that it's essentially intelligence or creativity as a service. And that's something that we've never seen before. Like we've always seen like point solutions and software that like you program it to work a certain way and you create a great interface for it. And I would say that this is unlike anything we've ever seen. And so it's super multi-purpose, it's multimodal, it's very capable, and it's more akin to its name. It's more akin to AI as like a person on your team that you can collaborate with. And so for us, we would say, Andy and I would say, once we realize that, and I'll be honest, Andy was sort of thinking about AI a little bit before I was, but we were both thinking about blockchain and metaverse and a little bit of AI when we started playing with ChatGPT about a year ago. And when we did, we were like, no, this is more powerful. Like this is something we need to focus on. And so that would be the simplified message I would say to any marketer or leader is that you got to be thinking about this. You got to shift your paradigm to think this is knowledge, intelligence, capability as a service. And if you're not tapping into it and collaborating with it and incorporating it into everything you do, you're just going to fall behind. And that's kind of how we're thinking about it. And we're trying to build platforms and services that are scalable that help brands do just that.
So Andy, something that was just said by Adam was this knowledge or creativity as a service. That's a really powerful line to me. I really heard you say that boldly. Looking at that though from, we'll say maybe the average marketer's perspective where there's a little bit of ownership, maybe even preciousness in terms of creative output, ideation, everything from the big concept to the actual asset that gets generated by a marketing team or an agency. How do you see that fitting in? Do you see this creative world pushing back or really adopting and sort of diving right into this? Because in some regard, it's sort of supplanting the skill and the expertise that the average marketer believes that that's why they exist.
I mean, your question is about the societal implications of this technology. I think Adam said it, and back to your last question about how do you simplify this. I think of this as a digital brain, and I think Adam he said it, and I'll just highlight it, which is intelligence as a service is the way to think about this. This is most people, like there's a range of people who have read the headlines and you know, it was the fastest product to 100 million users by like an order of magnitude, meaning ChatGPT was. And so the rate of that adoption and now the rate of the technology advancement in less than a year, I think is the issue. I think it's the speed of the adoption and the advancement that has literally, when we had the unique pleasure of meeting with Sam Altman, and we told Sam a brief bit about Forum 3, which is the parent company, and Hive3.ai, our product. And he liked the idea, but he said in that meeting, the reason that he liked the idea was because it's people, it's basically creators who go deep with the technology, given their background. Nobody knows what these models are capable of. And that is including Sam Altman. And that is a scary, I mean, that we came out of the meeting and we went for a walk and tried to just, like, we talked about the implications to our business. We talked about the implications to the world. For Sam Altman to say that to us. And I think that has resonated, like, you know, the people that created these models are still trying to figure out exactly how they work. Now, they'll figure that out, and they're deconstructing it, how it arrives at, and there's already been advancement in that. Now, to your question about the marketing people and the adoption of that, I think that, like, there are going to be people that embrace the technology is out of the bag. It's happening. Like, there's no putting that genie back in the bottle. So there's going to be people that adopt it and embrace it and find that it is an amazing tool, having a digital brain that you collaborate with to create, to get jobs done, to advance in the world. They're going to be, those people are going to be incredibly productive, and they're going to produce things that are mind-blowing. And then there's going to be the problem of the speed of the adoption and the advancement is going to cause upset in our society, and we're gonna have to deal with that. And hopefully the technology, the positives outweigh the negative. And I think that's really where Adam and I are standing, and that's where Forum 3 is that doing it, working with AI responsibly with brands and creatives, recognizing the human implications, you have to just, you know, you have to be thoughtful, or as thoughtful as you can, and know that there's forces here with this tool. I think this is having been around at the beginning of, at 1995, at the start of the internet, I think this is as big, if not bigger, than the internet. I mean, I remember Mosaic. I think it's bigger.
So, Andy, just to go then one step further. So you've gone even beyond the marketer. You've said, I'm going to build a business around this. So why don't you explain what exactly Hive3.ai is and how you're trying to take advantage of this, you know, massive speed adoption, the way, you know, you're talking about it, of AI as a tool.
It's interesting. It's worth noting that our origins of Forum 3, we were the team behind, we started as a Web3 company. We were advisors to Starbucks through Adam's relationships on the Starbucks Odyssey project, which is going very well. We continue to be involved with Starbucks. We run their community and advise them. And it was really, Starbucks Odyssey launched within 1 week of ChatGPT. And it was as it was launching, it also launched, I think, 2 weeks after the FTX debacle. As it launched, by January, Adam and I were having conversations about the implications of ChatGPT on Starbucks Odyssey and on Forum 3. And we started to see very quickly in January and February organic behavior by consumers of customer co-creation, meaning customers were taking Midjourney and using generative AI to create things and post them to the Starbucks Odyssey, in the Starbucks Odyssey Discord. And we were like, wow. And that was the most, those posts got the most engagement and chatter in the community. And we were like, wow, this is bottoms up community. This is the future of brand building. And from there, it's basically been a journey, our AI journey, which we'll get to that is the name of our book, our AI journey. And it's been a journey of generative AI, customer co-creation, and helping consumer brands to realize the efficiency and effectiveness of AI in their creativity as well as in their business. And that's what Forum 3 is all about. How'd I do, Adam?
That was good. I mean, I love that. And I'd only specifically add, so our first step of what we did when we said we need to focus on AI, this is too interesting and too powerful. The first step was realizing that there were already a burgeoning community of AI creators out there. And we thought, and they're pretty amazing. And they were like the tip of the spear of like, they were using Midjourney and Stable Diffusion and DALL-E, and they were really good at prompting to get these image and video creation models and tools to create amazing things. And so we thought, well, why don't we set up a platform that runs a weekly competition amongst this community and showcase to brands what's out there? Because we also realize that brands, and you mentioned this earlier, and I'll touch on it, there are a lot of scary things about AI. There's like uber scary things like alignment issues and, you know, what happens if it gets super intelligence or capabilities, and those are very real issues. And there's also, you know, issues of, call it, if it gets into the wrong hands, what about implicit bias within it? There's all these big important issues. And then there's also issues related to like, how are these things trained and created, you know, with their authorized training? What about copyright issues? It's particularly, I think, salient in this space. And if you're a brand, like you're like, your lawyers are telling you, don't touch it. And in the meantime, everybody at these companies are using it, whether they're authorized to or not, because Andy said, it's like, there's a study that just came out that like over half the people in companies are using it, not telling their bosses they're using it. So there's this combination of like, yeah, genie's out of the bottle. Lawyers and other people are going to have, are rightfully asking tough questions about copyright issues, IP issues, ownership issues, ethics issues. And so we were like, well, we had the ability to say, well, let's put a platform together where we take this community of AI creators and we just start briefing them every week. Okay, create an ad campaign for a clothing line, a fake one. We made up one called like Urban Lux. Like create a video for a movie trailer that doesn't exist yet. So we just started playing with it and putting real prize money up, and just to see what would happen. And it's pretty amazing. You know, we have a several thousand person community now. We have weekly competitions. We've actually brought some brands in. We brought Crumble Cookies has come in and sponsored a competition. And the goal was to show brands what was possible in this space around co-creation and taking advantage of community and AI, but also for us to learn, because we're on a learning journey. The reason our book is called Our AI Journey is we have a lot of humility about this. Like we're actually not that, you know, it's nice of you to say that we're really smart and we know a lot of stuff. The truth is like we're learning.
We're old. Like,
yeah, yeah, we're old.
It's wisdom. Yeah.
Yeah. We're old, but also just like everybody that's playing with this AI stuff and learning about it right now it's kind of in the same spot. Like everybody has the same advantage and disadvantage, and it's brand new. Put it this way, there's nobody other than maybe the teams at like DeepMind or whatever. There's nobody really that's been like truly playing with this and learning what it's capable of at any sort of scale level for more than a year. So we're just kind of in that boat, and we just want to take our, I'll tell you right now, we want to take our foundational mission and belief system around helping brands embrace these emerging technologies so that they can have a better relationship with their customers and they can unlock growth and build their brands. Like that's Andy and my life work. That's what we just do. It's what we've been doing. This is no different. It's just a different technology. But we're learning, and it's happening so fast, faster than anything else, like Andy said earlier, that we've ever seen before. So we had to put ourselves in a position of learning, demonstrating, and sort of building with our community on the fly. So the first thing you've got is Hive3.ai, where you've got this design competitions and creative community, and we're bringing brands into that to sort of tap into that to sponsor a competition or do an activation. But we're also writing a book on the subject, and we're releasing it with Harvard Business Review as a serial book and building a community around that. And then thirdly, behind the scenes, we're privately doing private betas right now with brands to help them with their essentially their AI collaboration strategy and building products and software products that we hope will scale to help brands do that as well.
So just on the crowdsource piece, I know that model has been around for a while. In fact, I can even recall doing some personal stuff with, I don't know, 99 Designs or whatever it was. And I was, wow, what an innovative idea to take advantage of this massive ecosystem of people that are way more talented than I am in terms of design and logos and copy and whatever it might be that I needed at the time. So you've basically taken a, you know, I guess a proven but yet legacy kind of business model and modernized it with a combination of both the tools and the asks of what you're getting, you know, new creators to kind of think through. Is there anything fundamental to the actual model, that sort of crowdsource component, that's distinct and unique, or where do you see that part of it going? Because to your point, AI is just like massively changing the way in which the creation happens. What about on the business model side too? And if brands, you know, or anyone listening to this podcast were to say, hey, like, I'd love to try that out the way Crumble Cookies are, how would they go about doing that and engaging with you?
Well, the last question is the simplest and easiest, which is they can email us at andy@forum3 and adam@forum3. So forum3.com is our website. Go there and reach out to us. In terms of the crowdsourcing, you actually make a really good point, which is it is a tried and true, effective way of community sourcing ideas, brainstorming. I think probably the interesting or innovative parts thus far, because I don't think we're just early. We're at the start. You talked about we launched this thing last year. We launched this thing 3 months ago. It's three and a half months old, which
time's flying.
In AI times is close to 6 years.
Got it.
The innovative parts, we're just launching the Crumble activation. So what we do today is crowdsource. We have our own community of a couple thousand of what we call of really top creators, what we call super prompters. We have those. They're on our site. They're in our Discord. Now we're working with Crumble, where we're going to provide them really generative AI consumer tools to their customer to actually create. Because we have the belief, just going back to the Odyssey, to Starbucks Odyssey, we have the belief that customers actually have an experience. They want to be engaged with their brands. They want to create. And they have an experience and can often tell the story on behalf of brands better than brands and marketers can themselves. And so if there was an innovative part of the crowdsourcing piece, I would say that providing a tool set and allowing that to be open in an activation form remains to be seen. Talk to us in, you know, another 6 years.
6 years of AI time.
Yeah, 6 years of AI. I think that's an innovative piece. I think on the business model side, I think there's work to be done there. And I think, you know, it's a topic that Adam and I are talking about, because the other part of the business, the strategy, this like intelligence as a service piece, it's basically we're looking to pull the intelligence as a service and the providing that as a member of your executive team, combined with the customer piece, and all putting that into the digital brain of AI. And through that, being able to unlock really insights and creativity and efficiencies and ideas that no exec team would have come up with without it. That's what we're up to. So, how to charge for that? I don't know.
Yeah, no. And listen, I'm just like the technology itself, things evolve, the business model will evolve, the demand will evolve. And to that, I guess, you know, the last question specific to that is, you know, Adam, when you think about, and you've worked in some amazing brands, the J. Crew, Starbucks, et cetera, what kind of organization, what kind of leadership, what kind of CMO is going to win in this game? What's it take in their demeanor, their character, their risk-taking aptitude? Like who wins?
Well, it's funny. We write about this in our book, which we're still writing. It's a serialized book, but we actually wrote about this in the introduction chapter, the answer to your exact question, which is, if you look at the methodology in the past that I think you can apply to AI, is that you have to think about the trend line of what's going on with the technology, and you need to start now to start experimenting with it. And you need to start thinking about how to incorporate it in your workflow, how to introduce it to your customer relationship strategy, if not directly to your customers. And you're going to have to do that at a time when you're not sure what's going to work and what's not going to work. But you're sure that if you don't experiment with it, you're going to get left behind. And that was true of Web 1. That was true of social mobile cloud. And I think it's especially true of AI, because it's moving so fast that if you're, to your question, if you're a marketer or a C-suite leader or a school principal for that matter, like if you're not right now saying, wait a minute, you mean I can have effectively a chief strategy officer and business intelligence team and creative studio at my fingertips, and I can start incorporating that into my workflow. If your response to that is, I'm scared, or I don't know how to start, that's natural, but you got to get over that a little bit and you got to start experimenting. And that's what I would say is, when I look at the examples, not just Starbucks, but when I look at the examples of some of the greatest digital transformation stories of the last 20 years, and Andy and I talk about this in our book, like they do just that. They were willing to sort of understand that they were early, that they didn't have all the questions, but they were going to get on it and they were going to learn, and they were going to learn with their company, with their team. And a lot of brands don't have the courage to do that. It's not for the faint of heart, but I think it's important. And I think it's more important with this technology, this emerging technology with AI, than it even was before. Because the pace of change of this AI technology, like when you think about where this is going and how fast it's going to get there, you're already behind if you're not playing with it right now.
I think that's kind of the title of this podcast. If you're already not playing with it, you're too far behind. Andy, anything last to kind of add to that?
I mean, I think that I would just echo that. I think that to answer your question about who do I think you need to be courageous. You need to be curious, and you need to be courageous because particularly as the organization size scales, the brand police, the copyright police, the lawyers, there's a lot more than any other technology previously, security and the technology people, there's lots of reasons not to start experimenting with AI out of fear. And if you're not already experimenting with it, you're behind. So the people that experiment with it and get their teams to experiment with it and treat it collaboratively will unlock some amazing, amazing growth for their businesses.
Very well said. And so Adam Brotman, Andy Sack, thank you for having the courage yourselves to really start this transformation journey as co-founders and co-CEOs of Forum 3, launching and operating Hive 3.ai, authors of the upcoming book, Our AI Journey, being published with Harvard Business Review. And thank you so much for your insights, for your wisdom. And just so everybody knows, this podcast was actually recorded in AI time over the course of a year. So, just to put it in scale. But I really appreciate your time today. Thank you both.
Corby, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, great talking to you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fine Tune. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. You can connect with me on Twitter at CFine, through LinkedIn at CorbyFine, or visit my website, CorbyFine.com. Fine Tune is produced by me, Corby Fine. Thanks for listening.